Heavenly Father, use the words that I speak for your glory. Amen. It is good to be back with you today. I've noticed many of you have gone on road trips or maybe traveled overseas or taken a short hop to San Diego or Vegas or wherever, but no matter wherever we go, it's always good to be home. You know, in the days before apps for our iPhones were created, Southwest Airlines created an app for our desktop computers called Ding Fares. Remember? You'd just be sitting and working at your computer and all of a sudden, ding! It was once another time to get a great deal to go somewhere and to see something new. Even though personally, after a while, I found the dings kind of annoying, at first I thought it was so cool because your computer would ding and all of a sudden you'd have a $39 fare to Vegas. Pretty awesome. A commercial featuring Southwest Airlines about 10 years ago helped create a lot of this hype, interviewing all sorts of their personnel from around the country. You'd hear things like, ding, you are now free to dip your toes in the ocean. Ding, you are now free to see an old friend. To forget what traffic sounds like. Ding, you're free to find your favorite state flower. Or free to follow your favorite team and go see them live. And then always the commercial would conclude, and they still conclude a lot of their commercials with this, ding, you are now free to move about the country. Freedom of movement is amazing. Freedom of movement helps us live into our vocation, who we are called by God to be in our lives. Freedom of mobility encourages us to connect with new people, to understand new cultures, to broaden our horizons in a new way that our experience of God's divine love suddenly gets bigger. But freedom is absolutely necessary to do that. Something that the woman in today's gospel reading simply doesn't have. We're told a certain woman shows up to the synagogue where Jesus teaches. She's hunched over. She's unable to really move properly, and she's been this way over 18 years. Her ailment has restricted her ability to do just about everything. We can only imagine she's lived a very lonely and isolated and restricted life. And, well, this man she hears about named Jesus might be the one to set her free. And so Jesus sees the woman and recognizes her longing to be free. The story doesn't tell us what Jesus is actually discussing in his teaching in the synagogue, but we begin today by seeing Jesus' desire to heal the woman and to set forth another example of the freedom of the kingdom of God. Now, remember, we're reading from the Gospel of Luke. And Luke's main desire for his readers is that we understand that because Jesus, as the incarnate Word of God, that because Jesus dwelling with humankind at a specific time and a specific place, the kingdom of God has now been brought into the world and has begun. This healing story corroborates this because Jesus brings in the kingdom of God and turns the environment of the synagogue upside down. He doesn't go to the woman to minister to her. Did you notice that? He doesn't go to the woman to minister to her. Instead, he calls her from wherever she is, presumably in the section restricted to women, probably in the back somewhere. He calls her front and center to the middle, since he's the one who's teaching. calling her front and center. This is an absolute scandal. And he goes further. Jesus puts his hands upon her, something that no one who was an observant Jew would have done. Men did not touch unmarried women. It was not done. But he does. And immediately the woman begins to stand upright and praise God. She's been set free to move, free to rise up, free to live, to move, to breathe, fully free with full dignity and full stature as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Well, of course, this gets Jesus into trouble. The religious authorities try to teach him what he did wrong, but he will have none of it. Notice how he calls the woman a daughter of Abraham. A daughter of Abraham. Meaning that she is a full heir of God's promises, just like everyone else in the room. She's not different. She is an heir, a full heir of God's promises, just like everyone else. So my hard question for us today is, why didn't the church, the early Christian communities, act on this story? Why? We're still waiting. Somehow we never learned. Women, not just disabled women, but women, all women, continue to see the constraints of this legacy of oppression. 70% of all the 1.3 billion people in the world who live in poverty are women. In this country, as of last year, women make 79 cents for every $1 that men make. And you would think that the church, the Episcopal Church, now ordains women as bishops and priests and deacons. You would think that the church would somehow get this right. Nope. We fail too. Women clergy in the Episcopal Church are on average paid $15,000 less per year than their male counterparts. Married women tend to have a much more difficult time. There's a much higher percentage of married women who find only part-time positions available to them. And of the largest congregations in the Episcopal Church, those that see an average Sunday attendance of 300 or more, those are only the top 3% of all congregations in the country. Of all of those, only 7% have women as their rectors or senior pastors. Sad that the church overall hasn't done any better either. But today's gospel is about being set free from old constraints, to rise above them, to being set free from the things that keep us down, regardless of our gender. Regardless of our gender, today's gospel wants us to imagine what a life unbound would be like in the kingdom of God. Jesus has offered a clear opportunity to right the wrongs of the past. He did it in one specific way with the hunched over woman who came to see him on the Sabbath, but he expects us to carry on this work of unbinding, of setting free, of restoring human beings to realize their fullest vocation, their greatest potential, their endless possibilities in the kingdom of God. We are being called into this. Who are the people around you who are bound, who are restrained, who cannot or are not fully free? Whatever that means, who are these people? And what are you doing to be Jesus to them. How are you bringing the kingdom of God just a little nearer to them? Imagine how you might be the voice. You might be the voice that's able to tell them definitively once and for all, you are now free to move, to rise up. You are now free to be who you are, to be free to thrive in the kingdom of God. You. Imagine. I want to close with a reflection that I read in a book by Jeffrey John. And it's taken from a YWCA Bible study from a few years ago. But this freedom, this concept of setting others free, is what we are all called to do. So as we go on our way after church today, I think it's important to reflect on this. What is the kingdom of God like? It's like more and more bent over women standing up. How can we know if the kingdom of God is actually coming? Why not look around and see if there are any formerly bent over women standing up? Brother, if you ever see a bent over woman beginning to unbend and straighten herself, at the very least, you better get out of the way and give her some standing room, because that isn't just another bent over woman standing up. That's your sister rising to her full stature, and that's God's kingdom cranking up. And sister, if for whatever reason you are still bent over and weighed down and you think that's the way it was intended to be, then know that you have been given divine permission to straighten yourself fully and to stand up. Whoever you are, if your spirit is bent over, you are free to rise up. You are free to rise up. Let it be so, brothers and sisters, again and again and again. Let it be so.